first step on our agenda tonight, I would accept a motion to adopt our agenda. Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next up, we'd like to recognize two employees of the month. So we need a motion to accept these recommendations to approve Chrissy Rausch as Classified Employee of the Month for March and Caroline Kiderling as Classified Employee of the Month for April.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. And I know neither of them can be here tonight, but we do want Diane to read about what was said about them.
So first of all, with Mrs. they both are from Mill Valley. So Chrissy Rausch is a library aide at Mill Valley Elementary. Her love for learning and knowledge about books, with constantly searching for new titles to update this selection available at the schools, are wonderful additions to our school. Mrs. Rausch is always approachable, even when working to file books, letting staff and students know that she is willing to help them find books of interest or by a specific title or topic. In addition to her library duties, she works with other library aides in the district to coordinate author visits and other events. She is also integrating makerspace times into the schedule to allow for hands-on experiences for students. Mrs. Rausch is always flexible with her schedule to allow for the Scholastic Book Fair and everything that happens in the library. We appreciate her commitment to books. Congratulations to Chrissy. All right. Caroline, at the end of every phone greeting or door welcoming, you can find or hear Caroline. Her personable, professional manner when communicating with students, parents, and staff are one of the many reasons she is a fan favorite by all at Mill Valley Elementary. She is the first in line of communication with visits and calls, often serving as the face of the school. In addition to her friendly ways, her organizational skills and efficient time management skills are exceptional. From preparing documents for students to take home to overseeing attendance in the office, her multitasking is second to none. There are many times throughout the school day, and Caroline is a good problem solver who is capable of handling several tasks at once. We are lucky to have such a good team player at our school.
Right. Can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and we thank them. They'll get their certificates next time you see them. So now we are to the point in our meeting that we are going to be recognizing our Good Apple awardees for 2019. So if our principals will line up and actually maybe take this down there so that you can use this.
And then if the board would come in front of the table.
Or maybe I did plug it in and got kicked out.
All right. Sorry about that. Well, the principals are getting organized, which could be another hour here. She's maybe the last leader. I just want to say thank you to all the volunteers that are being recognized here tonight. When I was thinking about what I would say this evening, it's not because all of these people have a lot of free time, right? They're not volunteering because they have lots of time to give. But they're really volunteering because they have the heart to give and the heart of students in our district and mine. So we couldn't do our work without all of their support. So thank you on behalf of the board, and thank you on behalf of our students for everything that you do. Congratulations.
I just need to add something on behalf of the board as well, because I know we're not in the buildings all the time, but I know that our buildings wouldn't run the way that they do without all of the extra time and support that all of you give to our students and the staff. So from the bottom of our hearts, we appreciate so much. You're not just your time, but like Diane said, it's the heart that you have to help our students and our staff and our district and our community. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm just going to use my teacher voice. Edgewood would like to thank and celebrate Mrs. Kathy Moore this evening for being our Good Apple. Kathy is a tremendous part of what we do at Edgewood. She embodies everything that we want our community to be. She's positive with our kids. She leads by example, and she makes everybody laugh and smile. We miss her when she's not there, and we love her to death. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Kathy.
Hoping you have another surprise.
No.
Sorry, we will take a picture at the end. So just to give you a little warning, we'll take probably like a 5-minute break after everybody has been recognized. I just want to make sure everyone understands I am not a principal. I'm a kindergarten teacher. My name is Jody Springer, and I teach kindergarten at Mill Valley. I am the Good Apple coordinator for my building, and I want to bring apologies from my principal, Amy McGlynn. She has an ill daughter, and her husband had to take care of his mom. She had an accident and has a broken hip. So they are unable to tag team tonight and be here, but she offers her apologies for not being here, and also congratulations to all the winners and recipients of awards this evening. I would like to honor Stacy Betts this evening as our Good Apple recipient. Mill Valley has been blessed for the last 5 years to have Stacy with us. She and her husband moved from Hilliard the year that their son Gavin came to kindergarten, and I was blessed to have him in my classroom, and I got to have Stacy as a homeroom mother the first year. She's phenomenal. Everything that she does is beautiful. She is quite the artist. She has been involved with many things in our building. Not just providing things for parties and being involved in parties, but she's also been a volunteer coordinator for several things for the BTO. This year she helped organize our mother-son movie night, which was a huge success, and the father-daughter dance, along with her friend Christine Stafer. Stacy is responsible for informative artistic bulletin boards and documents that she sends home to parents for us. And most of us consider her one of our resident artists in the building. Again, we're really happy to honor Stacy as our Good Apple recipient for Mill Valley this year. At Navin Elementary, and all of our Good Apple Award winners are wonderful throughout the years, but this one's a little special. So we'd like to welcome up Mrs. Erica Goodwin, our Good Apple Award winner this year. And why she's so special? Erica was a teacher at Navin for several years. I've known her for 10. Did you know that? This is my 10th year. And when she decided to stay home and raise her beautiful children, it left a hole in our hearts, not just the staff, but also the parents and mostly the students. So fast forward a couple years, and guess who's coming to kindergarten? Her daughter, Elena. And now she's a first grader, almost a second grader. And Lanson isn't ready yet. He's only 3, but we hope to have him for many years. Erica has jumped in as a parent with as much care and concern for our building and for our district as she did as a teacher. And she has volunteered for our PTO. She volunteers in Mrs. Hahn's room. She has volunteered a breakfast buddy. She runs our Santa's Secret Shop, and certainly was very helpful to us in the district when we had our levy campaign.
So I love her, and I am so proud of her that she is now the greatest parent in the world, like she was the greatest teacher in the world. So Erica, congratulations.
That they don't hear me usually, but I'll talk with the microphone. My name is Karen Wells, the principal at Northwood, and this year we'd like to recognize Denise Yerke, so she needs to come up here. Many of you may see Denise in the morning outside in front of Northwood, directing traffic and making sure that our kids get to school safe every day, and it's a wonderful job. But besides doing that for us every day, she's going to start crying. Except for doing that, she has been responsible for thousands of dollars worth of donations to our school. If I say to her, we really need this, I know that she's going to be out there looking for that. Yesterday I said, you know, we need 50 of the 5-gallon tubs or buckets for our music program. Well, I was writing a letter today so that we could get those, so she's already nailed that down and has gotten that for us. So it's just amazing what she does and how she supports our school. Things that probably a lot of people don't even realize that she's doing, but she gets donations for the teachers and donations for the kids. And so without her, we would be lost. So I thank you very much for everything you do.
Elementary, and today we are recognizing and honoring Jeff Mabee. So, Mr. Mabee, and I had to write it all out so I wouldn't forget everything.
Yeah,
I know, right? Some of you may know Jeff. He has been a longtime friend of education, and in particular, Marysville Schools. And we are so blessed to have him now volunteering at Raymond Elementary. Mr. Mabee also has helped on levy committees and just has done so much for our district. But like I said, we are very proud to be able to recognize him from Raymond. He comes in every week and volunteers with our fourth graders. And the lessons and the challenging activities that he brings in for the kids, bringing in life experiences for them to solve problems. He really gets them engaged in math. They're Mabee's minions, right? Is that? but they absolutely love it. In addition, this year, he worked with the Junior Achievement, which teaches financial literacy skills to our students. So he worked with our third graders. He actually had to go for training. Yes, but then he provided weekly lessons for one of our third grade classes. We can't say enough, you know, we couldn't do these really neat and engaging activities without volunteers like Mr. Mabee. So we are very blessed to have him, and we appreciate everything you do.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to recognize our volunteers of the year.
My name is Tim Canale. We're hosting tonight. This is our building, Creekview Intermediate. I would like to bring forward our Good Apple Award winner, Wendy Nuspel. Wendy. Wendy, a busy mother of three. She has three outstanding young people in our school district. Jack, 11th grade. Ellie, 9th grade. Will, here at Creekview, a 6th grader. Outstanding kids. Really busy. They're all engaged in activities today. So we have a busy mom with three outstanding kids that takes the time, has made the time, to volunteer for us. Wendy, also a local business owner. Marysville Jazzercise Fitness Center. I think half of my staff participates in her 5:30 a.m. class. So they come to my school healthy and stress-free, and for that I thank you so very much. Active community member, fully invested in our school, fully invested in our community. Wendy also wanted me to make everyone aware she's a recent graduate of Marysville High School as well. The volunteer work that Wendy has done for us is specific to our school performance, which is a really, really big deal. And I'd like to take an opportunity to read what our folks said or wrote about Wendy. Wendy Nuspel has been an invaluable volunteer for our musical for the past 2 years. She has put in countless hours working with our students, directors, and our parent volunteers. Her contributions include costume committee head, organizing parent committee meetings, designing a vision for our costumes, collecting materials and props, creating and fitting costumes. House manager, assisting in the front of the house with ticket sales, programs, seating, etc., and organizing the all-important cast party, right? Need a chaperone for that. That's a big deal. Wendy would do anything to support our kids in our drama program and truly went above and beyond over the last 2 years. With 60 to 80 cast members each year, we could not run a successful production without the support of parent volunteers like Wendy. Her dedication and commitment will be hard to match in the coming years. We thank you for your service. I thank you for your service. Congratulations.
Good evening. I'm Michelle Kaufenberger. I'm the principal at Bunsell Middle School, and I also have with me Heidi Laparo, my sidekick assistant principal at Bunsell Middle School. Tonight we'd like to honor Eileen Stillings, so Eileen, will you please come up? And you're going to stand right between Heidi and I. So Eileen has been a staple in our building for the last several years. Little did she know what she was getting herself into when she said, "Yes, sure, I'd love to help." The things that Eileen does for us, you might see her all over the place, actually. She started out in my office space, and now she has migrated to the other office space, and only recently our conversation went something like this. Am I going to have the same job next year? So she is already planning on coming back next year to help us at Bunsell. She files for us. She answers the doorbell when it rings. She pushes pedals to let people in and out of the office. She receives students. Let's see, she organizes the clothes closet. Mm-hmm. And anything else that we ask her to do, and she does it always with a smile on her face. And so I have the pleasure of being grateful for what she does at Bunsell, but I also have the pleasure of thanking her every day of my life because this is my mom.
She is not my mom, but I wish she were. And I'll tell you, she gives the best hugs also. So thank you, Eileen.
Thank you. I would like to point out that Tom Cochran gave me my spot in line in front of him because he knew I'd have to follow that. That was great, Tom. Thank you. My name is Ken Chafin. I'm principal at Marysville Early College High School. And this evening we are honoring one of our parents, Heather Wirtz. And I do not believe she is here unless she snuck in. She was not able to make it, but I'm still going to speak about her here for a few minutes. She's a Richwood Bank employee, which is a really important community partner for us. And obviously a parent, and she partnered with our early college high school staff on an initiative, a fundraiser for 2017 graduate. There we go. 2017 graduate Devin Burke, who's been battling cancer with the Dimes for Devin program. Richwood Bank, through her leadership, donated 3,000 dimes to our building, and she brought a lot of energy and effort to partner with our staff to make that a really successful fundraising effort, and we raised $1,600 for Devin and his family. This challenge was a great reminder about compassion and empathy and the place that they play in schools. And empathy is a new habit of mine in our building. It's something that you just can never have enough of, and it will always have timeless relevance. So that's why we selected Heather Wirtz, and she is our Good Apple winner this year.
Good evening. I'm Tom Cochran, principal of Marysville High School, and it's my pleasure to invite Officer Shields up here as our Good Apple Award winner. Officer Shields is a huge help to our school and specifically to our agricultural science program. He provides opportunities for our students to have real-world experiences as they learn in our classrooms. So I have a little bit of a write-up that Sherry Anderson, one of our ag science teachers, wrote about Josh Shields. Josh Shields has been active in our actively involved in our agricultural science program for the last few years. Josh has helped to organize the industry experts and experiences in the field that would not exist without him. Josh is the Union County game warden, and he comes in and speaks to the classes on average once per month during the school year. He teaches classes based not only on content standards, but also covers exactly the topics that he faces in his day or in his everyday job. He mostly works with our wildlife and fisheries classes, but Josh is also on our advisory committee and has served as a judge for the FFA awards and contests as needed. Josh has provided contacts not only in the Ohio Wildlife Program, but also with the Ohio Scenic Rivers, Ohio Forestry Services, Ohio EPA, Union County, Soil and Water, and many more. Our program has grown in strength because of his leadership. So on behalf of the high school, I would like to thank Josh Shields for his work with our students and for, again, providing those real-world experiences that we are trying to make sure that we're bringing into our classrooms every day. And I know the Ag Science program is better for it, our students are better for it, and our school and community are better for it as well. So Josh, on behalf of the high school and the schools, thank you very much.
Ashley Thompson, and this is Jennifer Hinder, and we are the principals at Trey Academy. We are going to honor Tisha Miller tonight with our Good Apple Award. Since our inception of the school at the Hope Center, Tisha has been instrumental for both of us, and she is what I would call the question, answer, solution finder. So with every random need I had as we were getting ready to open the building, Jen and I quickly learned that if we had a question we couldn't answer, like where's an extension cord or could we put this in a closet somewhere, we'd say, let's call Tisha. And we knew we'd get a smile and an answer. And more important than that, she's a daily happy place for our kids. She's always treats them with the utmost respect, gives them a sense of hope, and she just, Jen will list a few things that she does, but she just gives them what they need as far as a community connection that is invaluable. And I don't know that Tisha realizes that her smile is just always a face that we welcome into Tri Academy with just all the excitement that we have and gratefulness. So Jen's going to say a couple things.
So I wrote something a little bit here. So Tisha has been an invaluable resource to our Tri staff and students. She's worked as a mentor with our students, supporting them in academics and really in their everyday needs. Tisha works with our students to ensure they get their service hours and works with them one-on-one. And like Ashley said, whenever we have a need, Tisha is there. And I didn't write this, but today was a really big day for Tisha and I. Tisha has helped mentor a student of ours for the last year, a student who we really honestly weren't sure if she would make it to graduation. And today, that student finished her credits. And it's a really big deal. Tisha. So we are so grateful to have her at our school.
Thank you. We're ready to start again. Mr. Luke, Mr. Smith, please report to the front table.
It's always the men.
I mean, really.
All right, so now we are going to be recognizing our state qualifiers, and we have coaches and or advisors.
A few years ago, we started honoring students outside of the academic realm. We thought that was an important part of school as well. So,
actually, in front of you tonight, some students are even national qualifiers, so the advisor or coach will kind of explain that when they come up as well. So, I will move on.
First of all, thank you to the school board for allowing us to recognize our athletes. I'm Sean Anders. I'm the wrestling coach at Marysville. Wrestlers, you guys can come on up here. This year, we were fortunate to have four state qualifiers and two state placers. So I'll just introduce those. Lincoln Hurd. Lincoln is a sophomore. He wrestled 138 pounds for us this year, and he was a state qualifier. He's going to be one of our leaders coming back next year. Lincoln Hurd. The other three gentlemen are all seniors. Logan Painter. Logan was a state qualifier for this year. He's at 195 pounds. Logan really is a Renaissance man. He's an Eagle Scout. He's in the marching band. He's a fierce competitor. I believe he's going to attend Ohio Northern University next year and wrestle. So really proud of him, really excited for him, Logan Painter. Logan was also academic All-Ohio, which you have to have a 3.5 cumulative GPA or higher and be a state qualifier. So that was an additional honor for Logan. Ethan Spiegel. Ethan was a state qualifier a year ago. This year is a state placer for us, placing eighth at 220 pounds. Really a great team leader, great character guy. I know he's still undecided on schools, but I know he's going to do great wherever he goes. Ethan Spiegel. And finally, Walker Hurd. Walker wrestled 152 pounds for us this year. This is his third year as a state placer. Walker is one of those guys you can't replace. As I was looking through the record books, he's tied for third all-time in career wins at Marysville High School, which there's been a lot of really good wrestlers come through Marysville. So he's scattered all across the record books at Marysville. He'll be deeply missed, and he's attending West Virginia University next year. It's Walker Hurd. Next up, Coach Sundermeyer on the track and field.
Coach Andrews, who is the coach of the year for 2 years in a row. Coach Sundermeyer here with track and field. I have the honor of presenting awards to Katie Miller and Jacob Ranker. Come on up, guys. For their state qualification in indoor track and field. So during indoor season, we drive all over the state and get a chance to compete at some great facilities and prepare for the outdoor season. So Katie qualified in the triple jump. That means you have to jump three times. 31 feet, 1.5 inch. Congratulations, Katie. And Jacob in the 60-meter hurdles. He ran 8.51 seconds in that race. That's really fast. And then had a chance to compete at a world-class facility in Geneva called the Spire Institute. It was a lot of fun, and they prepared for this spring's outdoor season. So congratulations, guys. Hand it over to cheerleading now.
Hi, my name is Kara McBride, and I am the competitive cheer coach here at Marysville. Unfortunately, our other coach was not able to make it tonight with me. Her name is Jen Ward, and we have some of our team here tonight. I know quite a few have to work, as this is their off season. But we have with us Gabby Wimmers, James Beer. Hannah Scheider, Ella Miller, Riley Tigner, Ireland Lyon, and Lindsay Robles. So this year was a new year at Marysville. We actually started a new thing with cheerleading called stunting. It's something that's not done a lot in the state of Ohio. You see it more in other schools. But this year was exciting. It was the first year we did it. They were qualified for state, and then they actually were third in the state. So it was a good year, and we hope to continue that.
So hello, my name is Danielle Krug. I'm representing the Japanese program. I teach at Bunzels Middle School and Marysville High School. So tonight we're going to recognize four of our students for their state accomplishments. So if they could come here, please. So all four of these students presented at the Japanese Language Festival run by the Japan America Society of Central Ohio last month. The first student I'd like to recognize is Aaron Curie for his participation in the speech contest. Aaron won the Japanese Consul General Award, which is hand-selected by the representative from the Consul General of Japan of Detroit. So I have three. And the other three students I have up here, they participated in the first annual Japan Bowl of Ohio. It's a quiz bowl format all about Japanese language and culture, various topics that they had to compete with. We kind of went into it blind since it was the first competition, but they stepped up to the challenge, and we won the competition, which is why we were able to attend the National Japan Bowl just a couple of weekends ago. So I have here Adam Dumble. Aiden Johantis.
Hi, I'm Bailey Penorwood, and I am the Supply Chain Management Instructor at Marysville High School and the DECA Advisor. This year, DECA had 21 students attend the state competition, which is a record for the DECA chapter at the high school. DECA is a student organization that prepares emerging leaders and entrepreneurs in marketing, entrepreneurship, business administration, and finance. And these students got there through hard work and dedication. So I have some of them here today. I'll announce all their names though. So Benjamin Alexander, he couldn't make it. Jeffrey Armstrong, Jameson Bigler, Foster Cross, David Farley, Austin Garner, Kayla Harrington, Lyndon Hollingshed, Kelvin Huffman, James Jones, Mackenzie Kimson, Natasha Leiter, Eliza Martin, Morgan McKillen, Tashaka Russell, Jenna Shock, Elijah Smith, Tyler Smith.
Hello. My name is Lisa Nemeth, and I am an 8th grade teacher at Bunzels, and I'm here to award two of our amazing students with who are going to the State Science Fair. So Jaden Roars and Rhea Singh, I believe they're both over. Here they go. Let's go. I'm going to read a little bit that actually someone wrote about you a little bit. 8th graders Rhea Singh and Jaden Roars both received superior ratings for their projects, making them eligible to advance to the State Science Day in May. Jaden also received a trophy for the top project of biochemistry. In addition, since Jaden's project was one of the top 10% of the middle school projects at the district science fair, she gained admission to Broadcom Masters, which is a national science competition. Both of these students are taking 9th grade physical science as 8th graders and are doing splendidly, and it's been a pleasure to have them in class this year. So congratulations, Rhea. And Jaden. All right, hi, I'm Shelley Hauser, and I'm one of the art teachers at the Marysville High School. And Chase, as typical, knows what he's going to do, and he's already up here. So I'd like to introduce Chase Cutterelli, one of the kindest, most passionate, considerate, impressive young men you would ever meet. He's off to Columbia to study film next fall, and I can't believe fall is coming so quickly. But I am honoring him because he is one of the top 300 artists with a video that he made from the governor's show. And he didn't make it for the governor's show. But as we were preparing his photographs from class, I was like, you know, you've got some videos. Why don't we put one of those in too? And went all the way to the top. And I'm just pleased and so honored that I was able to finally have him as a student his senior year. He's been trying for all 4 years. So, congratulations, Chase.
Hey, congratulations.
Hello, my name is Aubrey Mosher, and I'm currently serving as president of the Marysville Academic Chapter. I'm honored to be able to tell all of you guys about some of our state FFA award winners. So I will be recognizing several people. Not all of them are. Not all of them are here, but I will be recognizing everyone. Anyway. Our agricultural sales team, consisting of Aubrey Mosher, Gabby Watson, Ian Johnson, and Sky Schuler Soto, placed 9th in the state. Our nursery and landscaping team, consisting of Grant Kessler, Maria Kessler, CJ Gross, and Z Tornberg, places 5th in the state, with Maria Kessler placing 1st individually overall. Rachel Poling, Grant Kessler, Blake Kessler, and Gabby Watson will be receiving the state FFA degree next week, the highest degree available in state FFA. Jacob Ishmael has been named a top 4 finalist in the area of outdoor recreation and will complete next week for the top spot. And Corey Lee places 8th in the state public speaking contest. This next fall, David Kendall and Jacob Ishmael will also receive the American FFA degree, the highest degree that you can achieve in FFA. We'd also like to thank the school board for support of our program continually.
Okay, if anybody would like to have some pictures taken, Mr. Langhouse back there could maybe help coordinate you and you can get some pictures taken with your group. And while you're walking back there, congratulations again. Thank you to all your parents as well, and the coaches and advisors.
Where are we now?
We're at the Creekview presentation.
We're at the Creekview presentation.
All right, honey.
You too.
Okay. No Italian ices, right?
ice cream today.
Hey, how you doing?
Sign up for public participation, right?
No. Are you retiring?
Me? I retired from softball coaching.
Okay.
Couldn't take it anymore, man.
Okay.
Them 18-year-olds will kill you.
Okay. We're going to keep on moving okay. here, okay? Good.
All right, Mr. Canale. I have to apologize, Mr. Canale, that I didn't thank you at the very beginning for hosting our meeting tonight. You've done a great job. There's lots of room up here, and I think everybody had a good time, except for the gentleman who just left, said that he was a little upset we didn't have any Italian ice or some other kind of things here. So, no, right now it's time for your presentation, so we're excited to hear what Creek View is going to share with us tonight.
I don't think I have to use that anymore.
Smaller crowd now.
I know, yeah.
Before we do our presentation, I'd like to recognize our partnership.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'd like to recognize our partnership, our business partners of the year, Elika Whitney and Jess Sparks. They're not with us tonight, but they are our contacts for a really cool program called Girls on the Run.
Oh, yeah.
It's the first year for this program to make its way into Creekview. For those of you that might not know, Girls on the Run, it's a organization that's dedicated to creating a world where our young girls activate their limitless potential, pursue their dreams. It's a 10-week running program that's transformative. It really builds confidence in our young ladies, sustains life skills, critical thinking. It's just a really cool program. So, over the course of 10 weeks, we've got some of our teachers with the folks from Girls on the Run talking about leadership, talking about maximizing potential, critical thinking skills, and they're getting ready to run a 5K, so they're running around this community as well. It's just a really outstanding initiative for our girls. We have 105 young ladies participating, not just at Creekview, but Creekview, Mill Valley, Northwood, 105 young ladies learning leadership in a healthy way. So we knew this was going to be a big night, so we digitized our presentation this evening, but I want to give it its full respect and its service. Tonight you're going to see a presentation from us on how we at this building and in this district are embracing our challenge for Diane's goal of 2020, where every learner has a personalized experience. What you'll see tonight is how we use formative assessment data, that's observations, tests, assessments, how we use the results of these assessment pieces to make instructional decisions that personalize the experience for our kids, that create higher levels of achievement, higher levels of confidence, higher levels of communication, ultimately creating a richer learning environment where our kids experience greater success, greater hope, greater connectedness to peers, to our adults, to this community. Diane tasked our leadership team several years ago with personalized learning, and nothing has transformed the quality of instruction, the quality of relations in our buildings more than this journey. So we want to tell a little bit of our story. Presentation with our leadership team about a month ago to answer that question: how does formative assessment effectively drive instructional decisions in the classroom. That we're also a pretty flexible group. Ryan and I planned for the event that this might not work. If it does, I'm turning it right over to Ryan Farrell.
Talk to the board about what tier one means.
Yeah, so tier one is a fancy way of saying what happens inside of our classrooms, what our teachers are doing in the instructional blocks in the classroom. There's tier two and tier three where kids leave to get special service somewhere else.
Does it have to do with this? Is it because of this?
Yeah, I wonder too. Nope, unplugged it.
Okay. When is that the program going to be where the kids make their boards?
Right. So one of the things that we did last year is we wanted to personalize how we recognize our successes at the end of the year. So we've done away with traditional honors assemblies where we would recognize all A award winners, perfect attendance, and we would only recognize a small percentage of our kids. Now we have a process where every kid is able to tell a story of their successes over the course of the year. Those dates are the 21st and 22nd. We'll get some invitations out.
Okay, great.
Budget showcase, March 2019. Today's presentation is going to answer the following question: how does formative assessment effectively drive instruction and tier one response? We're going to use this presentation to tell our story, the Creekview story, about data from every assessment we design and implement is used formatively to meet our students' instructional needs. Our responses to those assessment pieces to promote mastery-based, personalized learning. The first component of our formative assessment study begins in June when we have the state assessment results back. We take a look from a global perspective at our student achievement, but we can also draw some conclusions about our departmental effectiveness, our curriculum, our pacing, and our instructional design. The second component of our study on academic performance is our analysis of performance index. Our goal is to move our students and compel them to achieve at higher levels. We use the performance index as an indicator of our instructional rigor. A significant component to our study is the study of value added, specifically our teachers' effectiveness in relation to student growth. We analyze this data to set building goals, departmental goals, classroom teacher level goals as well. This data helps us decide which groups and subgroups are making gains, which groups and subgroups need additional support. Equally as important to our study on academic performance is our study of the non-academic piece, specifically post-survey. We are strategic and intentional about the student experience using post-survey data to find strengths and opportunities for our growth based on our students' feedback, our students' experience. After our comprehensive analysis of the big data, the Ohio State Assessment results, we start the year with our iReady tool, giving students diagnostic assessments. We use these diagnostic assessment results to identify students who need additional supports through Tier 1 and Tier 2 instruction. We're able to identify students that need stretch and really target and make intentional our instructional design. After the diagnostic results are analyzed, students' needs are identified. We design prescriptive responses at the building level for Tier 2 instruction. At the classroom level, standards-based assessments are used to measure student progress towards mastery of individual standards. We monitor this progress by teacher, by section, by student, and even items from the assessment, looking for areas in need of extra support.
Now that we've studied the big data, state assessments, we've analyzed the diagnostic data and our standards-based assessments, and equally important are our teacher-designed formative assessments. These are used to further diagnose student learning needs in order for us to prescribe, again, instructional responses to individuals and to groups. Earlier in the presentation, we talked about the importance of studying non-academic data and the records to hope survey. Another large or significant component to our journey is personalized learner profiles. As teachers are designing instructional responses from the formative assessment data, we enhance the student experience by analyzing personal learner profiles. Data from the PLP is used to further personalize learning experiences using students' learning preferences and interests. The formative assessment process is not limited only to state, district, building, and teacher-directed assessments. A critical component of our instructional design is student agency, learners engaging in self-assessment to determine themselves, whether they're ready to demonstrate mastery. This clinical assessment analysis, by clinical I mean diagnostic and prescriptive, drives our mastery-based instructional cycle. This mastery-based instructional cycle, along with the formative data described previously, personalizes learning for every student, promotes mastery, and guarantees a healthy learning environment. This scientific data-based mastery instructional cycle can only work when delivered by and implemented by a competent, caring professional that is fully committed to student success, socially, emotionally, academically, fully committed to the student experience.
Personalized learning has changed the format of my classroom in a good way. I start with a pre-assessment that gives me a lot of data, and I'm able to take that data and look at the students who have mastered it. If they did master it, they are then on a student mastery cycle where they are given a menu and they work through various activities. If the student needs more support, they go on the teacher-based instructional cycle, and I am pulling those students a lot more, giving them the added support that they need. And after this cycle, students post-test again and have that option of retaking after more intervention, and I'm able to see growth that I've never seen before, and it's exciting.
All this data, how do we know it's working? The second part of our presentation answers this question: what evidence supports the effectiveness of this approach? How do we know it's working? State report card data. Prezi was recently recognized as one of only 310 buildings in the state of Ohio to receive an overall effort. For us, that's citing metric with performance index. This clearly shows that tier one effectiveness is on the increase. How do we know it's working? High-grade diagnostic reports tell us that. All 764 of our students have offered significant progress toward their annual target. The tier triangle shows that we have fewer students significantly below grade level expectations. Each time we measure student progress, fewer and fewer students are at risk for tier 3 instruction. How do we know it's working? A historical analysis of our standards mastery assessments, common assessments, demonstrates that our commitment to analyzing these results, analyzing our instructional effectiveness, analyzing student progress. Our system is yielding significant gains from year to year. So we compare last year's standards mastery assessment with this year's standards mastery assessment, same assessments, mastery has significantly improved. How do we know it's working? Hope survey results. As we study and analyze the feedback we get from our students, hope, belonging, engagement, connectedness to school, all of those data points have improved significantly over the last several years. How do we know it's working? We look at student discipline. This particular set of data we're very proud of. In year 2015-16, we had 166 days of suspension, lost
construction. This year, 13 days. Clearly, the student experience has increased. Connectedness, hope, and belonging have improved. We've been able to tell our story of data analysis and instructional design. We often ask ourselves, is this working? Why are we doing this? I think this video tells us why.
I like how this fix does the minis, because if you score high on the standards masteries, you don't have to worry about learning stuff you already have, and it helps me to like deeper my knowledge into things that I might know some about but I don't know fully about. And if you don't score high, you get to do the regular menu, which just kind of helps you learn about it, and then you get to see your growth with the standards masteries at the end.
So thank you for paying attention and focusing on that. That's a long way of saying our teachers are working harder than they ever have. But more importantly, our kids are working harder and achieving at higher levels than they ever have. And we're really proud of the work that's happening in this building. I'm very proud of the work that's happening across this district. It's amazing what teachers do in these classrooms every day. It's what we ask them to do. And the results they're getting is remarkable.
I just thank you. I think that slide with the change in the discipline, to me, anybody who has kids know that when they're not busy, they find ways to get in trouble, you know? And so clearly with that discipline going down, they're more engaged.
That tells a big story.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's remarkable as well.
It really is.
So I thought a lot of the numbers were really encouraging, but I wanted to focus on the hope, engagement, belonging. Is that what you call the student experience side?
The hope survey, the student experience survey.
So those numbers are going up over the 3 years. What's contributing to that the most, do you think? Engagement, belonging, is it, like, what part of the process is helping those numbers go up?
The way we design instruction, the way we're able to meet our learners' needs at their level and stretch and grow them. Our kids are happier. Our teachers know them better, not just as learners, but as human beings.
Uh-huh.
Our classrooms are more relational because the only way that you can get these results is by providing smaller group instruction. So you'll see teachers sitting with 3, 4, 5 kids at a time while the rest of the class is engaged in rigorous work. It used to be the teacher would stand and deliver to all 30.
Mm-hmm.
You deliver a lesson for an hour. And the kids would be passive, and they would take notes, and they'd get something out of it. But now it's relational, it's specific, it's intentional, it's targeted, and the kids feel it. One of our veteran teachers, she recently retired, said, this small group instruction, this analyzing the data and working with kids, I've never enjoyed my job as much as I have. And the kids feel it. Great question. Thank you for that.
So as we move through this transition to personalized learning, it's been somewhat challenging to have everyone understand what personalized learning is. So it seems like the building has really turned the corner as far as the teaching staff being fully engaged and fully moving forward. What helped move that along?
We've got great leadership in Ryan Ferriman and the instructional coaches. There's also no ambiguity on what quality instruction looks like. We've created some guiding documents on what we should see when we walk into classrooms. We're able to provide job-embedded feedback and help for our teachers daily with our instructional coaches. There's clarity of mission, and everyone's unified.
I think the video showed, too, that through all of the work we do assessing students in various ways, we've uncovered a ton of need, right? And there's not a teacher in this building that would look at some of that need and say, yeah, I'm not going to bother with that. So the sophisticated way we look at data allows teachers to see what their kids need and then act upon it, and that's helped us turn the corner.
We're always very cognizant of this very clinical approach. Could feel distant and not relational, but we're also as committed to creating relationships that drive trust, that drive student success. So two things that are firing on all cylinders.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great job. All right. Did we have any?
No
public participation. All right. Next on the agenda, High Point Report, Ms. Savage.
So tomorrow evening is the High Point Open House. It's the opportunity for all of the High Point students from Marysville that attend the High Point campus to present their activities for the year. So it's a great opportunity. They're also going to be covering some of the activities that are taking place on the satellite campus here in Marysville. It's kind of like a senior project of sorts to share with their parents, their family, and the community what they've accomplished and the direction that they're moving in the future. So it should be a great opportunity. In addition to that, the board is going to be meeting with the subcommittees. The High Point levy passed last year, and that tax money is now being assessed, so they're starting on hard construction plans for the renovation of the High Point campus in Bell Fountain. So they had renovated their technology area previously. This will assure the renovation of the rest of the campus. Just for everyone's information, High Point actually serves 13 school districts within the Central Ohio area.
All right. Thank you. Superintendent's report.
I wanted to highlight, I know I let most of you know that last week we hosted State Rep Tracy Richardson and Scott Ryan toured buildings. They went to Early College in Northwood. Dick helped facilitate that. We talked about pretty much what you heard Tim talk about tonight, our transformation to personalized learning is kind of our avenue to get there. It was a quick and fast, but I think our feedback has been very, very positive, and have had some follow-up conversations with both of them. Actually, Tracy was in the district again to meet with the Union County superintendents and others from their board or people with interest. So feel very supported by that, and nice to have the ear and people asking for our feedback as boots on the ground. I know several of you as well attended the FFA banquet since our last meeting. It's always a great evening and certainly an exciting pie auction during that time. I also, we had a business advisory meeting with the ESC in which Columbus Public shared some of their partnerships with CODA, the Columbus Zoo, and et cetera. Also, today we hosted a parent focus group, so you kind of heard Tim talk about the change of direction. Every building at least had one parent represented, and all principals were there, K-6, to talk about new report cards. So I told you those meetings were starting up. So we got some feedback that we'll be able to put into... did accidentally summon you, sorry, that we'll be able to put to use in the report card. We plan to have that to you in May or June. Additionally, we will be launching our video series. First one's by me, so hang on to your seat, it's riveting. Followed by a series with building principals and students. Talking about the different elements of the work we're doing. So it's part of our messaging. And I believe that video will go out actually this week even. So
and
the first
it'll
video.
Just be on our website as well as email.
We're going to do a social media release. It's going on our website. It's going on the personalized page. We'll also, so we'll be sending that full scale. Few updates on the stadium project. Do you have my slides? High school main power line is hooked up, which was the first major event at the high school. Okay, perfect. Barring the high school with being without electric for some time, but there was some work that had to be done to get that established. Now things will really start to escalate. As well, BMS, I'm so excited. We passed our roll test. That probably means nothing to anyone, but to me it means we might see some progress. So
all
we're
right.
pretty excited about that. I also wanted to share with you a few logo picks, if you will, that we have had approved and that we're moving forward. It's not going to look great in this style, but just keep in mind. So Impact Stadium, the stadium words are actually silver-ish gray in the true sense, but to get it to show up visually here. And then on the right, you'll see the partner wall. If I can give you some visual context, if you're coming up the path where the paw prints are currently, this is the wall on your left, the building on your left. There we go. There's a little zoom in at the partner wall. So depending on the level of lion that the partner is, their name is listed under that section. Whoops. I don't know why it won't stick on that one. Hold on. That is the back of the press box. So you will see that, you know, from the high school side looking up, that's the home press box. This, there's a skirting that goes around the home stadium seats and also, or the home seats as well as the visitor bleachers. And this will be the logo pattern across. It's a blue skirt across the bottom. This is the end zone seating for the pit and the band. So it's sponsored by Memorial Health. So there will also be signage at the top, something about, I can't remember the exact words, but Marysville Marching Pride on one side, the pit on the other side, at the towards the top section where it's black. This is the visitor skirt side, and that's all I have to share on that. Any questions on that?
I like
so
it.
You'll see that Impact 60 signage on the skirt is a little different than the Impact Stadium. It's not Impact 60 Stadium, it's Impact Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So we're currently working on the back of the scoreboard. I don't know, we've had about 95 reviews and we're still not, I'm still not happy with the way it looks, so it continues to go back to be revised. We're also working on other signage. We're going with almost a, what would I call it, a placard, similar to when you walk into a building and it's a dedication piece that will go on ticket booths, concession stands, et cetera, also the press box. So we're working on all those pieces now. So we are meeting with people, kind of getting their approval on what their particular sign might say, and so it's all coming together. I also wanted to give you a quick report. All day, every day, kindergarten is up 21 students this year, as of today, compared to last year. And that is, does not include Alt K, which now has 31 students enrolled in Alt K. So we do have a full two sections of Alt K. So that is filling nicely. Two sections would be one FTE because it's a half day program.
Gotcha.
And that's all I have.
Okay. Any questions? Treasury report.
Such an important presentation that I thought I should spend a week in Florida, work on my tan.
Excellent, excellent.
So since I did just give a presentation on this, I'll make this relatively brief. There's not a lot of major changes compared to the January forecast. I'll kind of be comparing to the October forecast here. Looking at the, sorry, I'm standing everybody's way. Revenues versus expenditures. This now includes the renewal levy that was passed back in November. Also includes, due to the no new millage permanent improvement levy that was approved, this forecast also includes that TIF revenue that we're adding into the general fund. So again, we've said it before, thank you to our residents for renewing that operating levy and the financial stability that has provided. You'll note there the bottom green line is our ending cash balance. You can see that we're showing a positive balance all the way through fiscal year 23. That last number there is a little over $13 million, which is, again, a solid ending cash balance for that year. The next slide is our kind of looking at our ending cash, our cash balance policy, the two factors there. The first factor, as I mentioned, our ending cash balance has to exceed 1 month of expenditures throughout the forecast, and we do meet that factor. The second one is expenditures exceeding revenue by 1% in each fiscal year. You'll see in fiscal year 21, based on current projections, we would not meet that factor. We would have expenditures exceeding revenue by more than 1%. But again, what that really does is just trigger us to make sure that the board is aware and to start planning. And the good thing is we've built up a nice cash balance that we've got time to make decisions around that. Looking at our revenue sources, from a percentage standpoint, we were really pretty close with our original projections. We do have our final real estate tax revenue, and we ended up really close this year. In total, we were off by about $50,000 out of $25 million. So it was a really good projection this year. It was $50,000 in the right direction, so it's a bump in revenue. We did get an increase in our state foundation revenue. That's up about $280,000. That's due to increase, mainly due to an increase in students. We were a cap district again this year, which means, in essence, we're getting all the money that we're allowed to get. And we technically should be getting a little more, but that number is only about $135,000 this year. So we're really right around cap formula. It's just really close based on current projections and kind of assuming that there's no major changes to the foundation funding formula. We're assuming that we would be a formula district next year. But again, if we grew with probably a relatively insignificant number, we might jump right back on the cap again. Throughout the 5 years of the forecast, we're showing or projecting minimal increases in our state foundation funding. The big difference here is that other local revenue that equates to 5% of our revenue. Mm-hmm. Back in October, I think that number was only about 2%. That's because for fiscal year 19, we added $850,000 of TIF revenue due to the no new millage permanent improvement forecast. We get our TIF revenue twice per year. I think it was just last week that we added in that $850,000. And then again, I think around September, we'll get that again. So twice a year, we'll be adding $850,000 for a total of $1.7 million into the general fund each year. We actually also just recently got our tax year values for 2018 from the county auditor. We got an increase of 1.2%, mostly due to new construction. For comparison purposes, back in 2017, that number was 0.8%. So we generally expect relatively minor increases when it's not a reappraisal year. So our next reappraisal year is going to be next year for 2019. We're projecting a 5.1% increase in the forecast for that. And just a reminder how that works, that doesn't mean that our revenue goes up 5.1%. That just means when the values go up, they actually roll our millage down a little bit so that we're not getting an increase in revenue based on an increase in your property valuation. The only real increase in revenue we would get is one, if any of that 5.1% is made up of new construction, that would be an increase in revenue. and then also our 4.7 mils of inside millage. That actually gets an increase based on the increased valuation. And then also that on the that purple column there, the public utility personal property tax, that actually, that those entities actually pay are the full voted millage. So if that number goes up based on value, that just means additional revenue to the district. On the expenditure side, again, from a percentage standpoint, we are relatively close. Wages and benefits were slightly under projections based on our the negotiated agreement. We had the bonus program in place for this year, and then that also is in place for next year. This year, there weren't very many that qualified. We expect a lot more to qualify next year, but that number was significant. There were just several this year, so that was a savings compared to projections. And then I had projected kind of a worst-case scenario for our insurance renewal. I did not have those numbers back in January when I gave the presentation. We have those numbers in now and what enrollment looks like. So that number's down about a couple $100,000 compared to my projections. And then also on the purchase service side, we're saving around $350,000 compared to projections. About $200,000 of that is based on utilities, mostly electricity. And then also our community school deductions went down again this year. Which was a savings of a little over $100,000. That's for students, mainly with online schools, attending community schools. My levy history tab, I was finally able to make some changes to that, so that was good news. There at the bottom, I noted that this renewal that we just passed in November, along with that no new millage permanent improvement levy, as you saw with our earlier slides, we now have financial stability all the way through fiscal year 23 based on our current projections, and we were able to achieve that without any new additional taxes, just with the current taxes that you were already paying. And as again, I always like to note that 2008 was the last time that we passed a new millage levy, so we're in 2019 now, so over a decade. Some items to consider were also kind of risks to the forecast. I don't talk about this all the time, but it's still happening. It's that tangible personal property phase out. We're still getting reimbursement revenue from that phase out of tangible personal property taxes. This year we received about $3.2 million. That number is being phased out to the tune of about $500,000 per year. So even if our state foundation revenue were to go up, we're on the back end, we're losing $500,000 every year on that reimbursement from the state. We're going to be looking at a new state budget next year. So, you know, this forecast is at risk. The projections are kind of assuming similar numbers to based on the current state budget. Based on what the governor has put out, what we have so far, it doesn't look like there would be a lot of major changes. Then you're also probably hearing a little bit about the Cutt-Patterson model that is out there as well. That also appears that it would be a positive to the district. It looks like it would actually provide some additional revenue. But again, that's all early and really just speculation right now, so we'll keep a close eye on that. Big unfunded mandates, like College Credit Plus, the special ed scholarships, those are things that continue to cost significant dollars and reductions in our state foundation funding due to those expenses. And as I mentioned earlier, watching the state budget, that right there will be the most immediate and potentially largest impact on the forecast if it were to change. That's it. Any questions?
You talk about property taxes getting rolled back and so forth. Approximately, what's the millage that we're collecting now, and how does that stack up with maybe some other districts?
So our operating millage this year is just over 26 mils, which puts us as one of the lowest in Central Ohio. I think it's the second lowest in all of Central Ohio for any district that's achieving some academic success. If we achieve the valuation growth of that 5% next year, That 26 mils could go down potentially maybe 23 mils. And as you may be aware, the state mandated minimum is 20 mils. So our taxpayers are getting a really good value and a really good deal on their taxes for what you're getting in this district.
Where does that 5% number come from?
The number that I have in there is really just a projection. But due to just looking at how the sales are in the county and in our district, just assuming that the county auditor, when she goes and does the reappraisal, the values are going to go up because sales are coming in higher than what the current values are at. Sounded confusing when I came out.
I think I followed
you. Makes sense, yeah.
Okay.
Good news. Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess you probably want us to say you should just go to Florida more often. All right. Next up, my report. We had the last community coffee on April 13th. Nobody showed up for that. We have another one coming up on May 11th, and Amy and Brian have already agreed to serve there. And this Thursday, the Chamber's annual celebration is going to be held at UCO Industries. And I just also wanted to comment that Eric Phillips, the executive director of the Chamber, had sent out an email recently about the Ohio Readiness Seal program. And it's an opportunity for businesses to provide some mentorship for our students. And all of the Union County schools have agreed to be a part of this program. And Eric, as the lead of the Chamber, I just wanted to thank him because he emailed all of the businesses that are members of the chambers and included a description of what that program is all about and encouraged our businesses to reach out and partner with us. I know we already have a lot of great internships, but we certainly appreciate the chamber and everything they do to help our district as well. I want to talk a little bit about the work session that we had on April 15th. Since Todd was on vacation, we didn't have our tape recorder. So, I know Diane gave an update on some of the projects going on in the district, and we also talked a little bit about our meeting agendas and specifically the presentations. And I know I had reviewed with Diane the current process for our building presentations is that each building is able to choose from one or a couple of areas of their goal and work plan and highlight some of their progress in that area. So the buildings, the building administrators are making those decisions on what they want to share with us as a board. And I know we really appreciate hearing about everything that's going on out there. Also talked about the fact that this fall there is going to be two board seats up for re-election. And so just wanted to make people aware that if they would have an interest in serving as a school board member, feel free to reach out to us. I know there's a lot of great resources for prospective board members. Ohio School Board Association has a new program, All on Board, and our Board of Elections, we all have a postcard on a candidate and issues workshop that's going to be held on June 4th. So, it's a great job, and I think Amy's going to be done at the end of this year, and I believe I'm going to run again. But we will have we welcome people to learn more about what we do here, and if they have an interest, please contact us. Upcoming events: National Honor Society this Friday morning at 8:30. And the Japanese National Honor Society is this Saturday at 12:30, both of them out at the high school. And then Tammy Cooper sent us an email about the internship luncheons that are held at the Early College High School. They have 3 days of those now because there are so many students that are going through internship programs. But that's May 11th, 12th, and 13th. And then this weekend is also the Board Leadership Institute on Friday and Saturday. So that's all I have. Legislative report, Mr. Smith.
I sent the legislative report out to you earlier this afternoon. As Diane mentioned, this meeting today, the treasurer. Tracy Richardson, who's a follow-up meeting that we had in Columbus with her. That meeting, we talked about a number of things, and the budget was obviously a topic of discussion. I had a meeting set up with Senator Lehner and Senator Burke to visit, and that meeting was canceled, and I'm trying to find dates when they can come and visit. I mentioned at a work session that I submitted testimony in opposition to House Bill 75, which was introduced last year. Did not pass during that session. It was reintroduced, and it deals with the appeals process for property taxes at the County Board of Division. My take is that it requires a lot of duplication, makes what is a working, rather simple process much more complex, and politicizes the process by requiring local governments and school boards to pass individual resolutions to answer or to initiate the complaint. So I think the current system is working fine. That testimony is the same, essentially the same testimony I submitted last year to the legislature. House Bill 166, which is the state budget, is the center of discussion. There are numerous finance meetings going on, lots of conversation discussions. We'll see how that works out. And May 7th, Nan just told me she was going to be able to attend. She and I and a couple people from OSBA will be meeting with Senator Burke to discuss the possibility of him introducing a bill on school bus safety. And so that's going to be an interesting process, and hopefully we can get something done.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Safety and Drug Committee report, Ms. Powers.
We had a meeting. There was not a whole lot that we did this time. They did come up with a new prom logo, dress up, not mess up, and they are distributing that to several businesses. So the logo will be on there, and it's like the tux and a dress, and it's pretty cute. We worked on subcommittees on the different areas and what areas that we're going to target to be really promoting next year, between the alcohol and the drugs. So that's all been designed and what we're going to gear toward coming into next year.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let's see, next on the agenda, I would accept a motion to approve the draft minutes from our March 14th regular board meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any questions, comments, corrections? Oh, then roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on the agenda, I'd accept a motion to approve the treasure items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith?
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Todd?
The main item I would point out on there is just to thank all of the donors. There's a lot of donors on there for the stadium project, also a lot of donors for the brick pathway. We basically almost have shut down the brick fundraiser. We had a little delay in getting the order in, so we've got just like a very small window where we've got a couple people calling in saying, hey, did I miss it? Well, lucky for them, there's a couple days left. So we're going to probably put that order out for the bricks on beginning of next week. So that does give a very small window of opportunity if anybody still wants to get a brick to do that.
All right. Any questions for Todd?
It's just
I think I've been very, very impressed, very humbled by all of the support from the community, some small donations, larger donations. When we started this, having the community being presented with an opportunity to participate and to have a role in the development of the facilities, I think has always been important. It's really gratifying to see members of the public take advantage of it. And so I agree with Todd that we need to make special thanks to everybody that has had part of this.
Well put. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on the agenda, accept a motion to approve Lauren Devine and Paul Devine contracts.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
I abstain, and the motion carries. Next on our agenda, I would accept a motion to approve a contract for Emily Savage.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Questions or comments? Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Abstain.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next on our agenda, I would accept a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Luke.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage.
I feel like there's a lot of things on
there. There are a lot. You're right.
highlight some revisions to the classified handbook. I think Lynette put a nice cheat sheet together for
yes.
you to summarize those, including salary changes as well. We have volunteers on for this month. It's also the 2020-2021 mm-hmm. calendar, which we have the opportunity to have available in advance if anyone wants to give input to that. Trip to Spain, a couple things that probably look really official, but we do every year is Ohio High School Membership Agreement. Also, we have the bus bid agreement. We also are hiring some teachers for next year, several teachers on the list for next year. I also wanted to congratulate Rich Holliday on his retirement. Certainly, we wish him well. He served as a teacher and now a bus driver in the school district. I know Lynette thought he was her teacher, so... wish him well. And then also the non-renewal of supplementals. Remember, we do that
right.
every year and then hire back those positions as needed in that season. That's kind of a highlight for you.
I'd like to mention Aaron Peitschmeyer.
Yes.
Is now coming back full-time.
And also the fact that Mrs. Hinderer is going to be our new principal, once approved, at Tri-Academy. So that's exciting.
So also included in my entire list tonight, it would be our agreement with Union County Digital Daily News. We've talked about that a little bit. I've talked to you about providing an opportunity for our students to work with practitioners in the field and be able to really get live feedback from a professional. Lindsay and Ryan are here tonight, obviously, mm-hmm. to answer any questions if you should have them. The other thing that we're pretty excited about is we have now set up the opportunity for I'll just call it a rotation, if you will. Each month there will be a principal corner featured where a principal will be able to write an article on a topic, and then we'll be able to have a student from that same school featured like a week later. Mm-hmm. So whatever the principal may be writing about, we'll connect that with the student message, K-12. We'll also have the opportunity for Ashley to have a monthly article, and I will have a superintendent's corner featured as well. So, and just another way to talk about what we're doing in the school district and make people aware of and continue that message with personalized learning as we move forward.
It's exciting. Just another opportunity for our students.
Yes.
That's great. Anybody have any other questions? Nope. Hearing none?
No.
Okay. Roll call, Ben.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. So we are now at the point where our board members are welcome to make comments or ask any additional questions. So, Mr. Smith.
I'd like to thank the administration for you. Very, very nice presentation this evening. A nice space to host a lot of people who came to be recognized. So thank you very much. I'm just constantly excited about all the good things that I see taking place in our school district. It's getting to the end of the year, and we have lots of different awards and building celebrations and all sorts of things taking place. We're coming to a conclusion of an absolutely amazing year, and went out and drove past the construction at Bunsell today, and I saw that they had packed to the ground, and that was a major step. But I know that graduation's coming up, and there's been a lot of work, a lot of time spent on that. I think that's going to be an amazing event. For those that may not know, it's going to be in Columbus at the Convention Center. And it's going to be a great setting to honor the graduates and for the district to be able to celebrate all the successes that this graduating class has accomplished. So, that's it.
Thank you.
Again, thank you very much for hosting. We really appreciate it. It's always wonderful to be here. Thank you for all the good apples that mm-hmm. dedicate so much time of their lives and enjoy spending their spare time helping out the children of our school district, students for our school district. A big shout out to all of the athletic programs, not just the ones recognized this evening, but all the athletic coaches and students that participate in athletics throughout the district. It's a great opportunity for our students.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Enjoyed tonight. And I'm really looking forward to graduation. I think we've got a great group that's coming through this year. And so I'm really looking forward to that participation.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to echo thanks to Mr. Canale for your hosting and for the report. Mr. Fairman, too. I really appreciated the report on the progress that's happening here with instruction. I'd like to recognize everybody who's resigning and all the new hires and transfers, but particularly Jennifer Hinderer. Mm-hmm. Wish you the best at TRI. Thank you, Ashley, for what you've done there already. Even today, helping a student get past that hump and get the credits they need to graduate, we really appreciate mm-hmm. what you do for our students. Thank you so much.
Great job. Tim would tell you that I've probably been on his radar the most, or vice versa, right, since I came into the district. And is certainly very impressed with. This has been a very rewarding process. It's been difficult and hard work for everyone, teachers and support staff, and but everyone has jumped in, and the results for kids have been amazing. So super proud of that work. I would also, you know, when you leave a position and go to a new one, it always brings you comfort when you can hand a baton off to someone else. And when I look down the table and see Ashley and Jen, I'm just reminded of two hearts of educators that are the champion of the underdog. And I'm not nervous at all, very little angst, super proud of the work that's happened and the work that will happen. So congratulations to you both. Keep up the good work. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have.
All right. Well, Mr. Canale, I will also thank you and Mr. Behrman. Love the presentation, and I just like what Diane said. It's really been amazing to see the transformation that's happened in this building, and it's just wonderful. So thank you so much for that, and good apples. I don't think any of them are here, but for the record, we appreciate you so much, and our state qualifiers, we're so proud of them. And I also brought a letter to the editor that the JT had in there. I think it was on Friday, but it was from a parent from Upper Arlington, a lacrosse parent, and I don't know if anybody read it, but she appreciated the action of our Marysville lacrosse team, and just it's a wonderful letter. And our students were very respectful. They were getting, well, they had a really nice presentation at halftime for an Upper Arlington player who has a brain tumor. And the lady just talked about how respectful our students were. Even though they were getting beaten very badly, they continued to play with heart, and they had great sportsmanship. And I just thought that was really nice for her to share that, and it was very nice for the paper to put it in. So appreciate that. And I wanted to thank Dick also for coordinating all of these visits with the legislators. I know it's, I think I told him, it's like herding cats, and you're still working hard to try and get it accomplished, but we appreciate that. So, and senior breakfast, has that been canceled?
We just canceled it on Friday.
Okay, yeah, and we're thinking about maybe doing
actually,
it in the fall.
Yeah, okay, we postponed it in the fall.
Okay.
There were several activities in which some of the organizations we reached out to said we already have people out 2 days that week.
Right.
And so we're looking at dates in the fall that might not be quite as busy. It sounds like when weather breaks, maybe they take a few more trips.
Right.
So we're going to postpone it to the fall. We already have donations that people have approved us for us to move to the fall and things. Okay. So we'll pick that up in the fall.
Okay. Great. Well, can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. DeMine?
Yes.